Ticket text coming in. Lions, Packers. Thoughts on the matchup this week? We haven't spent time on it. It's finally Friday. We should get into it more. Texter says, cookies. The crummy weather in Green Bay means Sonic and Knuckles will dominate. Jordan Love isn't going to make it happen, even if he's healthy. Lions win. Lions run it 35 times, win it 20-12 from another unnamed texter. I think the rain presents a problem for the Packers because I wouldn't want to play on a slippery field if I'm nursing a groin injury, a point that we had briefly made.
Yeah.
And another one says, yeah, Love's injury could get aggravated on a slippery field.
It could also limit their play selection. Matt LaFleur is really good offensive mind. And I think one of the best coaches in the NFL. I don't know how you could say he's not when, all right, Jordan Love is your high-priced quarterback, yet Malik Willis is undefeated. Like, that is in and of itself. You're able to win with your backup quarterback because we've all said, hey, if you lose your quarterback, you're done. Very few teams have the ability to stem the tide. He has come in, and he was there, what, 10 days before the opener? And has been able to manufacture wins. So I think Matt LaFleur is a terrific play caller. He also knows the limitations of his players. If he believes their best option is for Jordan Love to be on the field, he's probably, with the weather, with the groin, going to limit his opportunities to be mobile in the pocket.
So less boots, less rollouts.
Yeah. Which limits their offense.
It does, because they are a West Coast offense, right? They want to use bunch formations. They want to move the quarterback. They want to outside zone run and then boot off of it.
Yeah.
If they don't have some of it. Yeah. I'm curious who the weather favors more in this game. 248-539-9797. I know we've talked a lot about Jared Goff. And it's
well, the weather doesn't affect him. Well, the weather may affect him as a passer, definitely not as a runner.
Right. Well, I don't know. We've seen Jared Goff show off the wheels this season.
He's not running fast enough to slip.
No.
Brakes won't be an issue.
No hydroplaning for Jared Goff. Not going fast enough for those to really kick in. But this is the first road weather game of the season. And we keep saying it because we don't even really realize how unique this is. It's November, and they're finally playing an outdoor game. And it just so happens to coincide with rain. And it's going to get dark, and it may get a little cold, and the wind's going to be whipping. And if Jared Goff can't make some of those throws, it does open the door for a Green Bay team. If they can be stout against the run, if they can come up with a key stop on a third down to really make you sweat this one out.
And here's the thing, too. It's whenever you have weather involved, you're trying to figure out what are the different touch points of the football and when can things be an issue. Josh Myers, their center, questionable. I think he'll play. And I'm not really sure what his injury is, but do you trust him as much, whether it's shotgun or under center, to get the ball from A to B? I trust Frank Ragnow in these situations as a guy that we've seen do it multiple times in multiple, you know, bad weather situations, get the ball from A to B, whether it's shotgun or the regular CQ exchange. And so that's one touch point. It's being able to hand the ball off. And I know that we all can never forget the fumble by Jahmyr Gibbs in the NFC Championship game, but he has been very reliable at possessing the football. David Montgomery had the fumble against Minnesota, but he has also been very reliable at carrying the football. Who would you rather have the ball in their hands in any situation than Amon Ross St. Brown?
Yeah.
Like, I just trust the Lions' ball handlers much better, along with I don't think it's even close, a much better offensive line. So if you're limited at throwing the ball, you have an offensive line that can drive you off the ball, that's going to play with good technique. I've already talked about that situation. And you're handing the ball off to two guys that are one, really good at running the football, but really good at protecting the ball as well.
And I like what the Lions have been doing defensively, trying to knock the ball out. Like, it's clearly a focus for this team. You have Jordan Love, who's thrown a ton of picks, and you have a Lions team that wants to get the ball out from runners. So, I mean, there's a chance that a key turnover does swing this the way of the Detroit Lions. Listen, the spread's 2.5 points. The game's expected to be tight. This is a division showcase. And, John, it feels like if the Lions win this game, they're looking in the rearview mirror, trying to leave everybody in the dust. I mean, this could be a game that cements them as the NFC North winners, right?
Yeah. I mean, this game will do a lot for so many people for the Detroit Lions. Now, the trade deadline, pass rush, I don't think it's going to affect any of that. I don't know that the edge for, certainly not a positive for rushing the quarterback. If you're trying to, you know, bend around the edge, James Houston, it's not going to be a good day or an easy rush for him. But when you think about all of the different factors involved, Jared Goff, this is a statement game for him. Lamar Jackson coming off a loss. If you're talking about the MVP race, going on the road, getting a win like this, he did it against Minnesota, division opponent. And there are certain wins that just mean more. Minnesota will be one, especially with the drive at the end of the game to set up a field goal, game-winning field goal. That's a check in the positive column for Goff. This is another one where he may not have great statistics, but it's about how do you generate the offense as the guy on the field that's going to touch the ball in every single play. Jared Goff will dictate a win or a loss in this game.
So think about it. If the Lions win, they've gone on the road and beaten two teams in division. They're 2-0, and they've got games in hand in addition to the head-to-head.
Yeah.
If they were to go 500 in the division the rest of the way, they would go 4-2. Like, that's how big a deal a win is on Sunday. And it goes the other way. If Green Bay wins, Detroit drops from 6-1 to 6-2. Green Bay goes to 7-2. Green Bay has the head-to-head. Green Bay is the first-place team in this division. And all of a sudden, as well as the Lions have played all season, for as much as we've thumped our chest and Victory Monday and Dan Campbell locker room speech, we'll be in second place. That's how big this football game is.
Well, and you talk about number one seed. Now, I don't know how the tiebreaker works between the Commanders and Green Bay. Depending on what the Commanders do this weekend. But if you're talking number one seed, you want to get a game advantage on the Packers. Because if you lose, you're out of the number one seed as of now.
These games decide the division. Yeah. I mean, I know it's only November, but a win here puts you so... It's a separation Sunday. It puts you ahead with tiebreakers. I already thought they were going to win the division, but it would really feel like they're kicking up their heels a little bit here with a chance to run away with it. And we want them to, because you are also chasing that one seed overall in the NFC.
Yeah, and it puts you in a bind. Because if they win this one, the 14-3 bus is leaving the station on Monday.
I'll be running
you
with my bags packed.
One last opportunity.
And we have the trade deadline coming up on Tuesday.
That's why the bus is leaving on Monday.
That feels a little unfair. Ticket Texter says the weather in Green Bay means Sonic and Knuckles going to have a ton of touches. 31-17 win. That's from Braylon and Fenton. Talking to my buddies, our lack of pass rush will catch up with us. We'll lose this game by more than a touchdown, two possessions. I've even placed an alternate spread, Packers -7.5, to put my money where my mouth is. Text ends with, I don't want to be right, I just have a bad feeling about Sunday.
Oh, I don't like those feelings.
Last time these two teams played, Rashawn Gary ate Decker's lunch, and Decker has been shaky lately. That will be the difference. Packers win.
You know, part of pass protection is when you have a rusher like Rashawn Gary, who is he's not the guy that you're necessarily worried about beating you around the edge, but if you remove that factor because he can't bend, can't dip his shoulder, can't get around the edge because of a slip and fall, and you're simply focused on a bull rush or something on the inside, I actually think that the weather will work in the favor of Taylor Decker.
You know, last year's matchups, I'm curious to how those figure into this year's, because I think the Lions went in the Lambeau and embarrassed them last year. And my takeaway was it was the trenches. It was the offensive line.
Yep.
They physically manhandled the Packers. And Green Bay responded on Thanksgiving big time. And I thought Green Bay physically manhandled the Lions for a large portion of that game. It goes back to basics in football, man. But just no... You can get away with maybe one turnover, but in the weather, you got to play a clean game, and you got to win the offensive line battle, especially the Lions do. The Lions, because I think Green Bay might win it the other way, you know, in terms of like their offensive line as well. But it is about the Lions offensive line physically dominating this game. And running the football with two running backs, it might be the best tandem in the league.
Well, and I think it's a good point by the ticket texter, though, in the sense that the offensive line, you're only as good as your weakest link, right? You work in concert together, and I'm not telling you Decker is the weakest link, but if his matchup is the problem matchup, the left tackle, the blind spot. It's already rainy. It's already windy. You get hit when you don't expect it. You got to throw it early, or you don't get the throw off at all and the ball's on the turf. That's the worst version of the Lions. When the line breaks down and Jared Goff regresses and you're staring up at a game where you're trailing and maybe you can't lean on the ground game. And so the offensive line is always critically important, but I think especially in this game.
And as a former offensive lineman looking at this, I already talked about how I would approach it like Taylor Decker in regards to, okay, what's the playbook on Rashawn Gary? What's the playbook on those that I'm going to be pass protecting against? And if I can, not that you don't want to be ready for a speed rush, but if I can eliminate the chances, go way down of getting that, and I can set in different ways. But when you're talking about coming off this Tennessee game, what's the one question mark or the one, I don't want to say, the one thing that would hold you back as an offensive lineman of really enjoying a big time win? They all did.
Four sacks allowed.
Four sacks.
Yeah.
This is a matter of pride. This is a chance to come back and say, you know what? Hey, we are the best offensive line. We are. And I guarantee you, Hank is talking to these guys right now about making a statement in this game.
Okay, a lot has been said about the Lions, and we've been focusing on the game, but yesterday there was details on the trade front, and it's a couple names and a couple prices that I think would make every Lions fan happy. There's been a little bit of, I don't want to give up the future, I want to get impact. We'll give you the latest next. It's 97.1.
Hey, the NBA is back. We all know that. And FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. And here's how they're going to make it possible. FanDuel is giving all users 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off or buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA. And maybe it's you want to see Wemby. It was 5 for 5, or had the 5 of 5 yesterday. Great game. Maybe you missed it. Maybe you don't want to miss it next time. The Orlando Magic, let's see what they do in the conference. Knicks, Thunder, maybe you want to see if they're going to challenge the Celtics, who are going for a repeat. Whatever your reason, they're giving you a chance to watch every single moment. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. After 3 month trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel any time. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm going to attempt to do something that feels impossible.
What's that?
Make everybody happy.
Ha. Good luck.
So as we talk about the Lions, and the game is a story today. You guys can call in your mood. I'm a little nervous how you feel about the Packer game. But as we've talked about the Lions, a lot of the talk has been about the deadline. And it feels like there's two camps. There's the all-in camp, got to make a move, go do something. And then there's the other camp that says, don't mortgage the future, stay the course, do this that way. What Adam Schefter said yesterday on Get Up feels like a scenario that makes both sides happy. He said, Adam Schefter, they don't have a deal done yet, but there are a couple pass rushers out there. Za'Darius Smith, Azeez Ojulari in New York, a couple guys that make a lot of sense for the Lions. If you're this close and this good, why are you not willing to part with some mid-round picks to get some type of reinforcement to hold the fort down until Aiden could make it back? John, we heard yesterday that Za'Darius Smith is about a fourth round pick in terms of trade comp. What if they traded for both? They give up a fourth and a sixth. Brad keeps his one. He keeps his two. You get bookend reinforcements, situational in the case of Ojulari is more of a speed linebacker, but a true edge in Za'Darius Smith. John, is that not the solution that makes everybody happy? Multiple guys, you keep your picks, you're better, and you still have your future secured.
Get it done. I mean, that would be my response. Get it done. Just do it, because you do have, you know, you have other picks. You're gonna have your first and second, as you mentioned. You got your fifth, and you're going to have 2 sevenths. You're still going to be in the game. You're still going to be able to, and not only is Brad Holmes good at the draft, he's also good at maneuvering in the draft.
Yep.
We've seen it every single year of his ability to, whether it's going up to get Terrion Arnold, it's moving around to get J-Mo, moving around to get Jahmyr Gibbs. yes, just get it done, because you are talking about day three picks.
Yeah, shy of getting one of the big fish, the best move is to get multiple guys, and they could achieve getting multiple guys without giving up premium picks and make everybody happy. When I heard that, I said, why fight? Just do that. Right. Just do that. No one's unhappy. Now, I'm still open and still very much want the best players available, but if Brad Holmes is getting stonewalled on every phone call, this is the easy pivot point that, achieves everything that we want them to do, win now and later.
And if you're wondering why the value of the picks, because Za'Darius Smith is older, but he's got 2 years on his deal. It's the rest of this year and one more. For Azeez Ojulari, he's on the final year of his rookie contract. So you're not going to be giving... We saw it with Josh Uche. Mm-hmm. What was that, a six-round pick?
A six-round pick.
So you're not going to be giving up a lot of draft capital for somebody that may only be here. Now, you can re-sign him. Maybe you don't want to. But you, what you do is you need him... He's got six sacks this year. He's got five in the last three games. He's on a heater.
And the idea is once they get their D-line healthy, he becomes kind of an extra piece on a losing football team and a pending free agent. He is an attractive piece. In fact, I think his name came up the very next day after Aiden's injury from TJ Lang. Yeah, he brought him up. So he's been on the radar. We haven't spent a lot of time talking about him, but that's a guy who should be gettable for a day three pick. Get him and Za'Darius Smith.
Both guys. We talked about Za'Darius Smith. TJ brought up Azeez Ojulari as a guy that could come in here and provide you really good production from a pass rush standpoint. And you still have all the guys up front that are really good right now at defending the run.
Ticket texters coming in. The Lions will win an ugly one, 17-10. That's from Lance in Lansing.
I love the predictions.
Tennessee had the number one defense, and the Lions put up 52 against them. Lions beat Green Bay by double digits. Everything in that text is true. However,
not all those points came against the defense. In fact, most of them didn't come against the defense.
And five of those possessions started inside the 26. Right, they were short fields. Tennessee's defense didn't exactly give up 52 points in the traditional march down the field way.
Even those short drives, I credit those points. Yes, the offense did score. Jared Goff threw three touchdowns. So did David Montgomery. But they were all set up because of special teams.
Yeah, it's different than walking up and down the field. Which
maybe they would have done anyway.
Maybe they would have.
We'll never know.
Doesn't defense win championships? You got to have a better defense to go anywhere in the playoffs. We are all on that same page. Upgrade this football team. Weather's the same for both teams. Packers have experience with bad weather. I believe the hunger the Lions have to win will be successful, and it will outweigh their experience. Go Lions. Okay, the mood of this game. I've said I'm nervous. I haven't really heard you define your mindset. We'll do that at 7:35. We'll get into Jared Goff a little more in the matchup. Let's get to Heather's news.
Okay, so crowds got really rowdy in LA after the Dodgers won the World Series. City buses were set on fire. Stores were broken into. People were stealing like sneakers out of a Nike store. I mean, it was crazy. Fireworks were set off. And unfortunately, you might have seen this video circulating. I didn't want to watch it, but it was captured on video. There was a fan who was lighting off a firework and ended up basically blowing off his hand.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. He was like standing in the middle of the street holding a firework in his hand. Yeah. So he didn't like light it and run back. He had it in his hand. Yeah. I think it like detonated before he thought it was going to, and off goes his fingers. Yeah. Really, really.
Winner to this point of the Darwin Award.
I know. I mean, you hear about this every 4th of July, right? About how to be careful with fireworks. But man, it sounds like he was rushed to the hospital. They say his injuries were described as debilitating, but not life-threatening. So
if you don't know what you're doing, don't mess around with explosives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Things that go boom.
Yeah, I know.
Hopefully he's right-handed. Well, you'll lose a left. And
he kind of has to be now.
I don't know what hand he lost.
Oh, I thought it went... Was his left?
Was it? Did you?
I don't know.
Did you watch the video?
No. Why would I want to do that?
I'm not going to click.
Either way, that was pretty gross. But it sounds like there was really very few injuries besides that, and most people celebrated peacefully, according to police. Of course, they have their victory parade set for today. It's going to kick off at 11. It sounds like a lot of people are going to be there, right? This is their first parade for the Dodgers since 1988. They didn't get their parade during COVID because you weren't supposed to be around a lot of people, so they never got one. So lots of people are going to be down there having a good time. This is an interesting story. Human bones found 15 years ago by workers pouring cement near the Hoover Dam have finally been identified as a man in Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really crazy. So back in November of 2009, construction crews, they were on a break from pouring cement and they found what appeared to be a human bone. So they started searching more. Several other bones were found. Then they started finding, there was like a pair of sun-bleached jeans, a red shirt, a towel, a sleeping bag. And then there was a huge investigation. And despite this big investigation for years, detectives were never able to identify this guy. Then this year, there was a genetic lab in Texas that received this grant funding and was able to pay for forensic genealogy testing of these remains. Ultimately, they were able to interview several potential family members of this guy, found the guy's brother, his sister, found out who he was. They don't know how he died,
right?
But he did leave kind of this like nomadic lifestyle. Like he was like always on the go, always hitchhiking and traveling and yeah. Pretty crazy though.
It's wild. Yeah. I mean, thankfully they have some answers.
Yes, for sure. Bob Costas is retiring from calling MLB games. So, he started calling games since in the 80s. He's been doing this for a very long time, has a very impressive resume, but he is set to call it quits after being in the game for 44 years. So there you have it. He's also going to retire from the MLB Network, calling games there. He's still going to actually be part of the network doing other things, but won't be doing what he does.
Will he still be calling the Piston Cop?
Yes, I think that one will live on.
Did you watch any? Because there's criticism of
him.
The
Piston Cup?
No. Yeah. His latest work, he lost his fastball. It was time to step away.
I did. In the article, it said that there was he was facing a lot of criticism as of late.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it sounds like a little bit. There's some connection between Dan Orlovsky and myself, because apparently he eats like a child. Oh. According to his coworkers, and I feel like I eat like a child as well. So I thought maybe I would agree on this. He just released like his top five most overrated Halloween candy.
Okay.
And I don't agree with him on all of these, but at number five, he says the Hershey bar.
Just your plain old Hershey bar.
And I agree with that. Those little Hershey's bar, just yeah. Plain old chocolate.
Yeah, a little one. Yeah, they're
fine.
You don't love chocolate?
To me, that's like
I don't love
baseline.
Chocolate, but they're just.
It's just average.
They're fine. I get that. Okay. I agree with this take. At number four, he put Nerds.
I don't really like Nerds.
Yeah.
And I get it, but I like the Nerds rope.
You
those
like the,
little
you
gummies.
Like
the clusters.
Yeah.
Oh, those are good. Mm. Then Twizzlers at number three.
I like Twizzlers.
I like Twizzlers.
I do too.
I like
but the Halloween Twizzlers taste different than Twizzlers out of a big bag.
Truth.
I don't know why. Number two, Butterfingers. And then number one, he says, is the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
He thinks it's overrated?
That's what he says.
That's from a guy that runs out of the back of the end zone.
I mean, I don't agree with that. That's like, if I'm going to eat chocolate, give me the peanut butter.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite.
He is known for having terrible food takes.
Yeah.
Which, that's like he's famous
that's
for
that's what
this.
I'm saying. Yeah. Maybe we have something in common.
Same with Heather.
Yes, that's why I think we probably, I do.
Just
because I eat like a kid.
We have our very own Dan Orlovsky. Just don't run out of the back of the end zone. We're all good.
Yeah.
We'll get more thoughts on this matchup, making everybody happy with the trade. Do you agree? And your mood for the matchup. It's 97.1.
Fall into family fun this season with the YMCA of Metro Detroit. From youth basketball to gymnastics and swimming, the Wise Fall programs are perfect for keeping kids active, building skills, and making friends. And for the adults, there's group exercise classes, less meals, and free child watch while you work out, and a membership for less than $3 a day. Don't miss out. Visit ymcadetroit.org or your nearest YMCA to learn more and try the Y for free. Fall into family fun today at the Y.
All right, we're going to throw a lot at you. It's a Football Friday. We haven't spent enough time this week talking about the Packer game. So, of course, we'll start there. I said I'm nervous. I see this could be the week the pass rush comes back to haunt you. Maybe the wind and the rain and Goff, who's been so hot, cools off just a little bit. Lions got the run game to get this done on the road, but I am nervous. We brought up a scenario that would make everybody happy on the trade front. Adam Schefter saying Za'Darius Smith and Azeez Ojulari would be names for the Lions to target. Why not both? Keep your primary picks, your top two picks, and still get two bodies to help out on the edge. John, we also want to ask people about travel plans. This game last year was a Lions home game in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I don't know if people are making the trek again this year, the pilgrimage to take over Wisconsin again, but there's a lot for people to jump in and discuss. 248-539-9797.
Yeah, and you asked me what my feeling was for this game. My mindset for this game. And it's absolute domination. It is kick ass and take names. They are going to show up in Green Bay, and the train just keeps rolling down the tracks. They're in a good rhythm right now. They're confident in operating the offense. The defense has gained some confidence without Aiden Hutchinson, albeit not putting a lot of pressure. But there are guys that the challenge is there, and I think they're gonna raise up to that challenge and meet that challenge of they're not going to fill the void of Aiden Hutchinson. We're not talking about that. But they are going to do a good job of applying more pressure, which they need to, because they know, hey, they're out looking for help right now. And even if they have a historic day for one of those individuals, it's still not going to change the mindset of the front office. They're still going to be looking for edge help. But I think this offensive line, coming on the heels of giving up 4 sacks last week, that's not good enough. That's not a Super Bowl winning performance. Yeah, they won the game. They dominated the game as a team. But there's probably no more pride in any room in that building than there is in the offensive line. And I think they're going to show up. They are going to attack from that very first play. They're going to come off the ball. They're going to drive them back. They're going to bury them in that Lambeau mud. And it's just going to be another win for the Lions. I'm not sitting here saying it's going to be a blowout. It's not going to be a 52-point performance.
Because you said dominate, I'm going, oh, boy.
But domination in the NFL looks like an 8-point win. That's a domination because it's more than, I know you could score 8 in a time, but it's rare that you see double-digit wins. It's even rarer that you score 52 points. Now, I do expect them to score some points. I think it's going to be, the weather may be a bit of a factor. You may have some longer drives. You may not have as many possessions because both teams are going to be ground and pound. But I still think that they score north of 30 points.
Yeah, it's like when times get tough, you want to lean on an offensive line and you got the best in football. So maybe that is like your North Star, right? You're out on some choppy waters and how do we get where we need to go safely? It's going to be keep your defense off the field, keep Jordan Love off the field, possess the football, keep Jared Goff from having to throw it 30 or 40 times in the rain and the wind and all of that, stay into third and manageable, avoid third down if you can, and run the ball. Detroit has the best offensive line in the game in football, and they're all healthy. That's why ultimately I picked the Lions in our picks, but I see a lot of stuff that could go wrong in this game. Sure. I really do see this as a nervous mindset coming in, and you're much more confident. So I want to know which camp people are in. 248-539-9797.
The scared side of Costa or the very confident side of Jansen?
Are you with the Frady Cat or what are we calling you?
Ass kicker.
Okay. 248-539-9797. This is also a big spot for Jared Goff. You can't get over it, can you?
Yeah. You're going to go with the meathead?
Exactly. Yeah.
Or the cat guy.
I pick things up and put them down. We're just going to pick their D-line up and put them down in the end zone.
You know what? And here's the other thing, too. I don't really care what Green Bay's mindset is. I don't care, as a competitor, what the mindset of the opponent is. I really don't care what you're doing. Because I don't remember if it was you or Tom brought up, hey, you go up to Green Bay last year and you kick their butts. And they responded at Ford Field. Well, you know what happened at Ford Field? The Lions have to live with losing on Thanksgiving Day, losing on national TV, losing on in a moment where the entire world started to question, are you really the kings of the North or is it just Green Bay? That's the mindset. So, yeah, they could be upset that we did that in their house. What means we can't be upset for what you did in our house?
Exactly. And I think we know this team keeps receipts. It starts with the GM, but the players do and the coaches do because they kept a lot of receipts against Dallas. Now, I think they're smart enough to realize that the game plan this Sunday's got to probably tone it down a little bit in terms of trickeration, harder to pull off in the elements, right? Not saying that they couldn't pull something, but to me, this is where you go back to your DNA. It is pound town. You run the football here. Maybe you go a little less conservative with the fourth downs, and you use your punter. He is a good punter. Yep. You know, you tone it down. You go in there thinking we're going to win an old school, whatever, slobber knockers, what they call them, right?
That's Dan Campbell's word. Yep.
To me, you're going to see that identity this week that, you know, they can rely on in these situations outdoors and down the road in the playoffs potentially.
Another thing to throw in the mix here in this conversation, Jared Goff, MVP. He's already getting love nationally. This would be a spot for him to cement himself as the front runner because it's America's game of the week. Tom Brady will probably mention it right on the call. He's the best quarterback in football right now. Playing more cerebral like Tom did, there's a chance beating a team as good as Green Bay, a team that many people think are, you know, one of the five or six best teams in football, Jared Goff would cement himself as the MVP front runner.
Well, and it's about moments. You know, when you think about the moments that you have through the course of an NFL season, you know, it's coming on the heels of, yeah, he didn't have to do a lot last week to win that game.
Right.
He just managed it. He scored when the opportunities were there, capitalized on those moments. But it's at the same time where Lamar Jackson is losing to the Cleveland Browns. Now you've got to continue to keep the pedal down, keep the pressure on, and continue to perform. It's a long season. And you're allowed to have some down moments. And I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson was awful, but his team lost. Jared Goff's team won. You know, when you look at, you know, the other quarterbacks.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen's team is on a three-game win streak, but it was the Jets, the Titans, and the Seahawks. And you can look and say, well, some of those are similar to what Jared Goff has done. So you've got to keep the pressure on. This is a division game. Weather is going to be an issue. Decision-making is going to be an issue. Taking advantage of opportunities. Maybe you're in a position where you have to go on a drive, whether it's at the end of the first half or the second half, game-ending drive to win the game. These are all moments that you got to capitalize on.
You always say, like, teams can get better, and I really feel like Jared Goff has embodied that over the last 3-plus years of his career. So there was the knock he wasn't very good when pressured. He's been better in the face of pressure this year than even last year or the year before. Jared Goff in the weather 2 years ago. Tiny hands, don't trust him. He was decent in the weather. Could he put that to bed in this spot too? Like, could he continue to kind of end these narratives of pressure and weather and I'm a cast off? He's already put some of that to bed. This could be a big spot for him if the wind's whipping and he throws a couple really nice missiles down the field to say, hey, I don't have any holes in my game. There are no weaknesses. The Belichick thing were impossible to stop. He could cement that this week in Green Bay.
And you mentioned the missiles down the field. Sure, those are dramatic. It could just be well-organized, well-orchestrated scoring drives.
We got more to say on this. Ticket text, phone calls, 802. We'll mix in the Wolverines and the Spartans. It's 97.1. Dive into the best pool in history. It's Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino. You can watch all the biggest games at a viewing experience that's built for sports fans. Six pools, three different levels, always a great view of that massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. You've seen the photos online. Experience it yourself. Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch all the football games with the swim-up bars, the Insta-ready selfie walls, and a nonstop football party. Score your perfect game day spot. Plan ahead. It could be those cozy day beds, private cabanas. You can hang out in the pool or grab a lounge at the center of the action. Reserve your place today. 365 days of sports poolside. Located at Circa Resort and Casino, that's downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today. CircaLasVegas.com. Ticket text pouring in. You want to grab a spot on the phone. You're waking up from your Halloween hangover. 248-539-9797. Great night for trick-or-treating. Heather, you said best of your
life.
Fabulous.
I think it was the best night for trick-or-treating I've ever experienced in my entire life. It was warm. It wasn't rainy. It was a little windy, but really not bad at all. Everyone was out and about. People were like tailgating at driveways. I mean, there was beer to be shared. People had Jello shots they were passing out in my neighborhood.
Jello shots in the neighborhood?
Yes. I mean, there's bonfires everywhere. It was great. It was fabulous.
Yeah. It was a beautiful night. It was the perfect night to be out. And because last year, it snowed. Mm-hmm. We've had rain. And this one, there was that threat of rain. And originally, it was the threat early. And then it was going to be windy. And it was a little breezy, but we didn't have any rain. It was warm. It was easy to walk around the neighborhood. It was just the perfect night.
Yep.
We have a poll question up right now. Costa and Jansen on Twitter or X. Costa is nervous about the Lions game at Lambeau. Jansen is confident. Whose side are you on? Scaredy Cat Costa, Meathead John Jansen. You can vote. We'll track that. We'll pass along results. Some ticket texts. I don't think Green Bay is as good as their record says. Lions will expose them and win by 17 points.
Okay. I fully support that.
Says, I like the Lions' chances as long as we don't let them stun us at the beginning like on Thanksgiving. Can't have a slow start.
Oh, yeah, that first pass, the opening play for Jordan Love. What was that? Was that Jaden Reed that caught that ball? No.
Watson, I thought.
Yeah, it was Watson, yes. That's right.
Kind of an odd thing to ponder, but I feel like I would rather face a hobbled Jordan Love this Sunday than a healthy Malik Willis. They have competent coaching. They can scheme up a heavy run play action game plan that could cause problems for a depleted defensive front.
Yeah. I mean, I was been thinking about that all week in regards to just the wild card that is Malik Willis, but I do think weather will play a factor in the effectiveness of the called runs that they put in place for Malik Willis, getting outside the pocket, throwing the ball on the run.
I also think we haven't spent any time on this point. They're an outside zone team. They're going to stretch the edges, and we focused on the pass rush that you lose from Aiden. Aiden was a really good run defender, too.
Yeah.
And it's going to force those edge guys who may be coming in trying to prove a point and get to the quarterback, and they may get swept up or run down in an outside zone. Like, those guys have to be both stout against the run and rush the passer, and they have practice squad guys trying to fill that void. It's another thing that makes me nervous. Ticket Texter says, two huge losses on the Lions. Losing Williams and Hutch could cost them this game. Makes Green Bay even more dangerous.
Well, sure. Anytime you lose weapons offensively or you lose your number one defensive player, it makes it harder to win.
A safety or a missed two-point will be the difference in a close, gritty game. Lions win 23-20.
Mm.
I don't know who that... I'm not taking that as a vote for me. One play late, nerve-wracking game. Texter says, winning by one touchdown and a two-point conversion is not domination, John. What are you talking about? I'm going with the cat freak all day.
Winning by 8 points in the NFL is a big win. Maybe it's not a dominant win, but some of it has to do with how you get to that point. And here's the thing. Here's what I do like about the progression the Lions have taken. Last week, yeah, they didn't have to do a lot offensively, but every trip in the red zone, they capitalized on. That's something that you can, in a game like this, when you get an opportunity for a short field, because there's, you know, if there's a turnover, maybe there's a big play in special teams, some issue gives you field position. You could take advantage of it.
My dad and I are headed to our first away game of the season, ready to turn Lambeau into Ford Field. Go Lions.
It was so beautiful last year.
What is your expectation? Like, did they fight back a little bit now? I'm sure there's PSAs locally. Don't sell your tickets to Lion fans. Don't embarrass us again. Do you still think Detroit takes over the stadium?
Well, so the timing of it last year. I mean, am I wrong? That was a
Thursday
prime
night.
Time. It was a Thursday night primetime game. And I just don't see why that one would have been less important than this one. And so why would all of a sudden, you know, Packers fans say, "Oh, I'm going to this one." Maybe it's just cuz it's a weekend versus a weeknight.
Mm-hmm.
But it also makes it a little bit easier for Lions fans to travel cuz it is a weekend versus a weekday.
Well, there's no doubt that the dynamic in the division has changed. When the Lions fans took over Lambeau, they had not yet won the North.
It was a cute story.
Right. They're like, oh, they finished the season hot a year ago. The Lions forcibly took control of the NFC North, and that was a huge tone setter game. It went a long way into them winning the North. Now it feels like Green Bay's in catch-up mode, and maybe a little more defensive Packer fans are about, I'm not just going to
surrender back-to-back NFC North titles.
I will never doubt Lions fans, but last year was like unheard of. I don't think it'll be to that extent this time. You guys tell us. Maybe you're making plans and I shouldn't
I know Arizona's not quite the rabid football fan base.
Oh, far from it.
As Lambeau or some of these other ones, but it's not easy to get there. Same with the Cowboys. And the reports that we got from Dallas, from Arizona, even from Minnesota, division rival, was that the Lions were well represented. So I think this will be no different. I don't expect it to be much different than it was last year.
Texter says, why does Goff have to prove himself every single week? When are we just going to say he's good and sometimes they might lose?
Okay, hold on a second here. We're not debating whether he's good. We're debating if he's MVP good. And that is the number one quarterback in the NFL in a given season.
He just won. It was in Heather's News the first hour.
NFC Offensive Player of the Month.
Right. It's no debate if the guy's good. He's arguably playing the best football of anybody at that position this season. But this is another one of those narratives that he can take down is a road outdoor game with some weather.
Can he ultimately have a better season this year in 1 year than Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson?
Guys, don't forget Jordan Love hasn't practiced all week. He's got a sore groin. And he's already dealing with the other injury. We might take him completely out of the game, and then we get a blowout. Or as he puts it, a wipeout.
Mm-hmm.
This one says, I'm very worried about the game in Green Bay, signed Tim in Brighton. And a ticket texter says, old man Costa, afraid of a team that barely beats the Jags.
Early returns.
What's the poll say?
3-1. Meathead versus Scaredy Cat.
Do I ask?
3-1.
Oh, okay.
Meathead.
Well, you didn't say which side.
Meathead 3.
Okay.
Right. Scaredy Cat 1.
Long show. You guys can vote on Twitter. 248-539-9797. Texter one more says, the way the Lions have been playing, they will destroy Green Bay regardless of the matchups, the weather. It doesn't matter. Lions by 2 scores. Leo in a truck. Yeah, I had a feeling Lions fans weren't going to be intimidated. I just think there's some football things you got to keep in mind for the game. We'll get to the Spartans and the Wolverines. 8 o'clock hour. The picks and more. It's 97.1.